This is EPA Communications Director Greg Overman back with another edition of 5x5. And this time we're going to talk about APA's deep involvement in the 20-month-long effort to return the 737 MAX to service. Our 737 MAX Return to Service Ad Hoc Committee and Government Affairs Committee have been key players in that effort. First Officer John DeLue, who chairs the Safety Committee and the Ad Hoc Committee, is with us, along with Captain Peter Gamble, who served on the Ad Hoc Committee and also happens to be Boston domicile chair, and Captain Harvey Meek, who is the Deputy Chair of the Government Affairs Committee and also on the Ad Hoc. And finally, Captain Eric Ferguson, who will step us through this multifaceted effort, very important that APA has been involved in as part of making sure the 737 MAX is once again ready to go. So with that, Captain Ferguson.
Thank you, Mr. Overman, and thank you also for our guest today, Captain Gamble, Captain Meek, and FO DeLue. So in the wake of two accidents, the second accident being in March of 2019, that was Lion Air Indonesia and Ethiopian, 346 souls were lost, and very soon thereafter, the FAA issued an emergency grounding order, essentially taking away the type certificate of the 737 MAX 8. Of course, that had effects negative on our pilot schedules for the next couple of months after that. And then it became pretty clear around June that the airplane was not going to be returning to service anytime soon. Of course, June 2019 was a completely different world than June 2020. The new national officers took office on July 1, 2019, and it was pretty clear that this was going to become a busy time, and something that was really in our mutual best interest was to get to ensure that the 737 MAX was ready to go if it were ever to return to the skies. And I wanted our members to play, our volunteers to play an active role in that process. So to that end, it was July 16, 2019, we stood up the 737 Return to Service Ad Hoc Committee. I'll take just a second and read what that appointment letter said. And then we'll go through a quick discussion today with our panelists. So Policy Manual 401, Mike, states in accordance with APA CMB Article 11, the President may appoint temporary ad hoc committees for specific purposes as needed. I have therefore established the 737 MAX Return to Service Ad Hoc Committee. This ad hoc committee will be structured with positional roles as follows. APA Safety Committee Chairman will serve as the chairman, one APA Board of Director as member, one Government Affairs Committee member, and one Training Committee member. With these structures, I am appointing Interim Safety Chair FO John DeLue as chairman, and Captain Pete Gamble, Captain Harvey Meek, and Captain Angel Panera as members. The purpose of this committee is to oversee, to the extent possible, all aspects related to the 737 MAX's return to service in close collaboration with American Airlines, the FAA, Boeing, and other unions and operators as appropriate, including but not limited to engineering and software concerns, normal and emergency procedures, line operational concerns, and the training required to operate the aircraft competently and safely. So that was July 16, 2019, when we stood up the ad hoc. So with that, there's been quite a process resulting in the ungrounding of the airplane by the FAA. I believe it was November 18 of this year. And now we have commenced some demo flights with American Airlines using a handpicked crew and collaboration again with our APA members and safety committee. So with that, I'll turn it over to FO John DeLue, who is the National Safety Committee chair and has been for some time for APA. And you can tell us a little bit about the process, and there's a lot of acronyms involved with this. Tell us a little bit about the process, and then we'll hear from Captain Gamble and Captain Meek as well. FO DeLue.
Well, thank you, Eric. John DeLue here, your National Safety Committee Chair for APA. So I was actually happy that Eric appointed me to be the chair of the 737 MAX Ad Hoc Committee, and because I got to work with some great people. So I'd like to take a minute just to mention Dave Krauts, who is a 737 captain, Angel Panera, who represented the training committee, Peter Gamble, who represented not only just because he got a background in 737s, but as a Boston chair, and was actually very helpful in his role being also a board member and on the committee. Harvey Meek, who was on the Government Affairs Committee, and John Constanzer, who started out initially working committee and also been a Czech airman, And that's actually rounded out the whole group. So it was a good group of people to work together, because we felt like when we first got handed this committee task, it certainly looked like an uphill battle to get where we thought we'd have to go. And we knew there's a lot of challenges along the way, to include things like what they call a 1302 ride, which we had two of our pilots involved with that, followed on with a JOEB ride, Joint Operations Evaluation Board, which Peter will talk about in a minute, as well as the Flight Standards Board, which we provide input into it. But I think the overall goal, as we started to work with this path, we clearly decided that it was the best interest to work with American Airlines, which we did. The fleet captain, the fleet training manager, we worked together as a group there. And as time evolved, we felt that it was important to get APFA involved, as well as Flight Service for American involved. And ultimately, we ended up getting the folks from the TWIM folks involved also. So at the end of the day, we worked collaboratively for the 20 months. I felt like our mandate was clearly that when and if this airplane would ever fly again, it was going to be safe, not just for our crew members, but for our passengers. But I think the one thing that made this successful as a group is we were looking at things not just that were going to improve safety at American Airlines, but for the industry as a whole. And what I think that came out of that was that the industry recognized that was the goal of the ad hoc committee. And we were accepted very closely, very much at the beginning, by folks in IATA, as well as Boeing. And they reached out to us many times asking for pilots to get involved with some of the exercises that we're going to mention in a minute. But I think the best thing about that this process is that I know we've improved the leadership as well as the professionalism of APA. So I'll hand the mic back to Eric.
Great. Thank you, John. It's much appreciated. So again, this is Eric Ferguson, and I will tell you there are a couple things that really were helpful early on. Is that the senior management at American Airlines made it very, very clear that American would not operate the airplane until APA said it was believed it was acceptable and ready to go. And they held to that very, very closely, which was terrific. And one thing that I've always said, and one thing we certainly have not done with this process and will not do, is we don't mix safety with politics. We don't mix safety with bargaining. This was separate and apart. We keep safety sacrosanct. And that gave us, I think, tremendous credibility at all times. And the company really was responsive to and followed our lead in this area. And I think, frankly, we put together a terrific ad hoc committee of all highly credible individuals that were, you know, just when they spoke, the company listened, the FAA listened, whoever it was would listen. So we were pleased with the progress there. People knew we were serious and had the best interest of the flying public in mind. So with that, let me go to Captain Harvey Meek, who is deputy chair of our Government Affairs Committee. And during this process, since the grounding of the airplane in March 2019, there were a handful of reports that came out that were quite scathing in some cases of the process that led to the certification of the airplane originally. But in any event, can you talk to a couple of those reports for us and what you were hearing on Capitol Hill, Captain Meek?
Yeah, certainly. Thanks, Eric. Well, initially, there was a lot of confusion and misinformation. And because of the relationships that our government affairs team has established in Washington over a considerable period of time, and because American was one of the launch customers of the MAX, we were helpful. I like to think we were helpful, at least, with the professional staff of these committees in both the House and primarily the House, but also the Senate, in answering the questions that they had about the, first of all, the problem with the MAX and some of the shortcomings, and secondly, some of the issues with the certification process. So ultimately, in order to fix a problem, you have to identify the problem, and then work from that to develop the solution. And that's where we are right now, because of the work and the collaboration between the company and the association and the ad hoc committee. We're now at the point where we have actually shaped, had influence in shaping some of the legislation that is coming for how airplanes are going to be certified in the future. And it really is a positive thing, because it's where it didn't look at the line pilot input in the past, it's now going to. And that's important because the line pilots are the end user. And why make something without considering, you know, the end user?
Great. So I know we've had some real champions on the Hill as well that have taken a keen interest in this and have proposed additional or by way of reports, proposed changes in aircraft certification processes. Again, like you had mentioned, will ensure the line pilot involvement, which is great. The end user needs to be a part of it, but also will return the regulator back to a role of really, really regulating things. And without placing blame or putting any fault in the process, the FAA over a few years, few decades time had begun to rely very closely on what we call ODA, I think it's operator designated authority to sign off on changes as things came along without being involved every step. And are we going to see a return of the FAA with a little tighter oversight on these things going forward, do you expect?
Well, it would absolutely. There's no question that the ODA process is being assessed, not to eliminate it, but to make it better. And that is the end game. That's the preferred approach to this, because it's recognized that the manufacturer has the expertise. And the regulator doesn't hold all of the expertise that would be necessary in certifying airplanes. That shortcoming is being addressed, and I think that what's really going to be fixed is the communications process between the manufacturer and the regulator. And ultimately, we're going to see a better product come out of the certification process.
All right. Thank you, Captain Meek. That was very informative. And Captain Gamble has been a part of a handful of these processes over the last many months. And I got a sense that he might have some, might reflect upon what you just talked about, the communication process between the operator and the manufacturer and the regulator. Captain Gamble?
Yes. Thanks, Eric. And Harvey, you bring up a very good point, reference to the communication aspect of what's going on. So early on in the process for myself, in April, almost 2 years ago, we essentially went out to Boeing and actually participated in engineering simulators, which went through very much the same situations that happened with Lion Air to Ethiopian, in order to get the direct input from the line pilots. And that direct input from the line pilots is really what's shaping this process going forward, even from almost 2 years ago in April. So from that, we developed direct meetings with the FAA. We had stakeholders meeting, and we actually had just a specific meeting with solely APA involved with talking directly to the FAA in DC. And that meeting established a rapport, again, from our direct input to the FAA on how best to recertify or essentially return this aircraft to service. And that translated into with the ad hoc committee working directly with AA management pilots to go on a regular basis, on a weekly basis, looking at training going forward and what was needed for the pilots. That developed into a direct relationship to Boeing. So we would get on a regular basis their computer-based learning that they were proposing, and we would get a chance to preview that and look at it. With that, we determined that there were major improvements at the beginning that needed to happen. And those improvements were taken on, and they were taken on board by Boeing. And the result of what we have now is a direct reflection of all of those meetings that we had between ourselves. In concert with that, we were putting in inputs directly back to the FAA, reference to checklists and how checklists should operate and how they should be used. Again, that created a direct change in actually how we're actually operating right now with a reintroduction of recall items on our checklist, which I think the pilots are seeing very clearly are a good addition, especially to items that need to be addressed in an immediate sense. So I think from all of what we did, what Harvey mentioned with the communication is really what's going to be the success in the long term going forward with legislation.
Great. Thank you, Captain Gamble. So I'd like to go back to FO DeLue here for a second. One of the things you mentioned was the reintroduction of recall items. And I know that that wound up being a fight between APA and the ad hoc and the company a little bit, but I think we're not rolling things back 30 years or 40 years. We're rolling things back to where they probably ought to be. And with regard to our input in the syllabus, FO DeLue, would you have any follow-on comments from what Captain Gamble had to say?
You bet. Just as a clarification, we had a good discussion. We never was absolutely no fighting in the 20 months. So I want to be clear that we actually had just good communication and good direction. But it actually, it's going to improve our training at American Airlines, because when the recall came out, this was going to be 7 items of memory. And we've gone away from that. We know that's not the most effective training, nor is it the most effective way, safest way to fly an aircraft. So we as a company, between APA and American, we worked through this process that we now have a concept of how this will be done. And it's a model for the future. We're not going back to the old days where it's read it, you know, verbatim say something and then actually do it. We're doing this in a different manner. Alan Johnson, fleet training captain, has worked with us on that. I think we have a great product going forward where pilots are expected to still be pilots. And it's similar to how you're responsive be from a GPWIS alert or TCAS-RA. That's kind of how we're going to be training this. So it's a improvement in the way we're going to safely fly our aircraft.
Outstanding. Thank you very much. And I appreciate the correction. I didn't mean there were, you know, fights, but there were certainly some robust debate to get us to the best end result, which is much appreciated. So I'm glad the company was receptive to that.
Yeah, and just to dovetail onto what John said, one of the key areas of emphasis early on in the process was the human factors component to this, and what we were able to do is identify those areas of concern. And actually, they're going to be part of the certification process going forward.
Thank you, Captain Meek. That was no doubt informative. And so I'm going to go turn back to Captain Gamble, who was directly involved in what we call the JOEB process. So, Captain Gamble, can you tell us a little bit more about human factors and the JOEB, please?
Yes, the Joint Operational Evaluation Board is a process, again, for recertification of the aircraft. And what Harvey was mentioning on human factors was actually tested and reviewed. They had FAA specialists on human factors that participated and viewed a couple Boston-based pilots that were actually flying out in Seattle in the simulator, going through all of what the training that we're doing. And they evaluated how they handled the checklist, how they handled the startle factors that were involved with the testing, and actually had them come back after training about 30 days later and did it again to see what the effect was of the training. And it proved very clearly that the training created very positive results, both on the human factors side and also on the actual doing of all the checklists and flying the aircraft on the second go around on the JOEB. So that process was really a direct result of enforcing this human factors issue that we all need to be a part of.
Thank you, Captain Gamble. And I will note that, again, I'm not a 7-3 pilot, but I had the opportunity to preview both the distance learning that our pilots are undergoing right now, as well as the simulator profile. And I've said it before, but I came away impressed, not being a 737 driver. Nonetheless, if I could figure out how to start it and get it in the air, I could do so and suffer whatever trim malfunction that the airplane could throw my way and handle it, I think, quite well, because I thought the review of the systems was rock solid, and the simulator profile, which is a 2-hour profile that folks are starting to go through now, was also rock solid. So I think when the whole world is subject to something like this, the airplane will just be as safe as humanly possible at this point. So it's a great program, and I kudos to you and JOEB and the FAA and our team and the company's team for coming up with a solid program. So in the end, we have a program that we can stand behind because we had a large hand in that program. And again, our pilots are undergoing that training now. But we didn't do this in a vacuum. We, of course, had people at the company that were receptive. And I always like to give credit where credit is due. So I'd like FO DeLue to maybe tell us a few folks that were helpful and that we worked with to get to this point today. FO DeLue.
Thank you, Eric. John here. Yes, thank you. I'm glad we could do that. So from the get-go, we were given complete access, total inclusion. And so the people I'd like to mention is Captain Roddy Guthrie, who was a previous fleet captain of the 7-3, followed by Captain Chris Arell, who is now the 7-3 fleet captain. Alan Johnson is the fleet training manager for American Airlines. And he's been very inclusive on all the process going forward. He's worked closely with all the members of the ad hoc committee. And actually, not to leave anybody out, John Dudley, who's the managing director of Flight Ops Technical, has been very helpful in approving people's requests to fly and help us out. And just to add to that a little bit, Eric, is that, you know, you mentioned that our involvement in the FAA was actually so, I would say, impressed with our work with the company that when we did move aircraft from Roswell to Tulsa, they allowed the ad hoc committee members to be on the jump seat for these flights. And that did not go easily. That required a lot of work by American Airlines to get the approval. And it went all the way to the administrator, in fact, to get approval for our folks to be on these jump seats. But what it did is it helped us because we got to Tulsa. We had 21 of our MAX aircraft in Tulsa. And ultimately, members of the ad hoc committee went to Tulsa to check on the airplanes because, like you said, cars in the garage, how good are they? And I think everybody in that committee was beyond impressed on the care taken on these aircraft. They were parked in a certain area at Tulsa. American Airlines identified a team that their whole job was to preserve and store these aircraft, keep them in short-term storage. All of the members of the ad hoc committee got to go and tour the 7-3 MAXs, and they were impeccable shape, every one of them. And the company, I should say the mechanics there, even because they were being stored in Tulsa, there was a lot of rain, a lot of humidity. They changed some of the ways they were storing the aircraft to prevent corrosion. And at the end of the day, these airplanes are going to be flying by our pilots, but they've been so well maintained, there's no issue with these aircraft being put back in service, despite being on the ground for almost 20 months. So total kudos to our folks in the maintenance world and our fellow folks at the AMT world. Thank you.
Great. And of course, our friends at TWU, the maintainers of the simulators, as well as our check airmen, had a big hand in making sure everything remained in place and ready to go, even as we began to stand this back up. So I'm going to go back now to last week. I'm going to go back to Captain Gamble. So last week, we had our first flights with the MAX, with passengers on board since the ungrounding. So Captain Gamble has been, for these purposes, is an APA spokesman for the return to service and had the, I guess, privilege of operating as captain on a flight last week that received the appropriate level of media response. So Captain Gamble, could you talk a bit about that and how it went and how you, in your perception of the whole process and the media?
Certainly. So we, this past week on December 3rd, we actually had the first flight with press was on board. It was not a passenger flight, it was a charter flight. And the objective was to actually reintroduce the aircraft to the press to get a review and fly from Dallas up to Tulsa and give kudos, as John was mentioning, to the incredible work that the maintenance department has done in preserving these aircraft and also getting them up to flying again. And then fly back to Dallas. The event went off perfectly well as far as the aircraft flying. And I think it gave a chance for national media to actually see the work that's been done and also to feel confident of what we've all accomplished as the ad hoc committee. And we were able to easily discuss the training that we have to do, the maintenance that's been done, the software changes that have been done. And in every one of the interviews that I partake in, I actually asked the question at the end. I said, how did you think the flight went? And the media was across the board was like, it was great. It was uneventful. It was a good flight. And so that's really what the whole process we hope goes forward with, is that it provides confidence for the passengers to be back on this aircraft. Because we all know we need that, especially to get furlough pilots back and get things rolling in a forward direction. So it was a great success, and I think that you know, the questions asked were good ones. We made it clear that it took 20 months to get to this point because it was needed, and then with that, I thought it was a great event. Thanks.
So thank you, Captain Gamble. Thank you for participating on that in that event as well. And from what I could tell, the media picked up the proper message by and large. It was handled deftly with the proper tone. Again, it was both a positive development, but a somber occasion at the same time. And it seemed that that really came through loud and clear. So we're ready to get this thing flying again. So let me go back to F.O. DeLue, chairman of APA Safety. What would you say to anyone that might claim, and the only criticism I may have heard so far is that some have claimed that perhaps this process was rushed and the aircraft is not ready. And by the way, not all regulators, not all nations have ungrounded the airplane yet. But what would you say to somebody, John, that had indicated or to you or that had asserted that perhaps that we were in some hurry to get this airplane back in the air?
Thanks, Eric. In response to that question, as the safety chair of the APA, I felt this entire process was very deliberate and it was very careful where we moved from step to step. So anybody that would think that this recertification was rushed, I would 100% disagree with it. It was a slow and deliberate process where all of us worked together as a team to get to that point.
And this is Harvey here. I'd just like to add to that, we met with the FAA administrator in his office and we discussed this particular point. And he was emphatic that there was no timeline, that the airplane would be recertified when it was done correctly and that when they were satisfied that everything's been covered. And to that end, they've been completely open and transparent with us. Whenever we had a question, they were right there.
Yeah, that's a good point, Harvey. And timeline wasn't, there was no rush. And I think that people that are now going to go into the training and captains and first officers, as they go through the training, the product that we brought to you should bring the confidence to all of you that this aircraft is ready to fly. And I feel that way. And a couple reminders with the training aspect is make sure you get your distance learning done before you go into the sims. And if you go into the sims in Miami, make sure you bring a passport because it's required for the sim that we're using there to have a passport as well as your ID. And, you know, the whole thing is that the feedback you give to us will actually provide any changes we need. But I think you'll find that the feedback is going to be very positive, I hope. And so that's where the confidence is going to come from.
Outstanding. So thank you all for that. And of course, our flight attendants and the passengers will all be looking to the captain and the first officer and those in the pointy end of the airplane for leadership, which I know we provide naturally, but they will have questions. And as the airplane re-enters passenger service, we'll work with the company to ensure that the captains and everybody has the appropriate talking points in the event that a passenger is concerned about, or flight attendant for that matter, any other crew member is concerned about the safety of the aircraft. So we'll make sure we're all on the same page as we have all along through this process. If we weren't on the same page, we made sure that we got on the same page, and we are on the same page as it re-enters service. Looking forward to seeing the airplane in revenue service, I believe December 29, and the airplane's going to commence additional flights. The airplane, apparently the company's adding more flights to the schedule, again with the caveat that it has to stay domestic U.S. for now until it has been internationally ungrounded by all other nations, and that would just be good practice. But I know they'll be looking to you, Captain Gamble, Captain Meek, F.O. DeLue. We've done our homework. The aircraft is ready to re-enter service, and I'm proud of the work that our committee has done and collaboration in the truest sense of the word with the company, the FAA, the manufacturer. We're good. All right, let's go fly this thing. All right, and with that, let's see, Mr. Overman, I believe that would conclude our program. Again, thank you to our panelists, F.O. DeLue, Captain Meek, Captain Gamble. Anything to add, or would you like to take us home, Greg?
Gentlemen, I think that's one really informative discussion about something very important that we've been involved in for the past 20 months, we'll remain involved in. And as we go forward, we'll keep updating you with new information as it comes up. And so thanks for that and for participating in this new initiative that APA has, 5x5. We've already gotten some membership feedback on it. It looks like it's being well received, and we look forward to additional feedback. So feel free to reach out. And with that, that's all for today. Thank you.